If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me over to the book of Job, and I'd like to read just a verse or two here in the book of Job. I'm just going to exhort you a little bit tonight. I really had a desire to get somebody else to preach tonight. A lot of times I have that desire, and I think maybe the brethren think I try to put something off on them. But I really felt like that ought to exhort you just a little bit tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise.
In the book of Job, in the 30th chapter, the 31st chapter it is, let's read just a little bit here. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out, if mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door. Then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime, yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, that would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant, or of my maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God raises up, and when he visits, what shall I answer him? Did not he that make me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel, myself alone, and the fatherless has not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me with a as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warm with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from mine shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth has kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God that is above, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, all that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the travelers. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, did I fear great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door? All that one would hear me, behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my hand cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockles instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Now it's the strange words that Job spoke in the time of his anguish and in the time of his sorrow, having a lot of miserable comforters to come by in the time of his heartaches and the time of his woes. Job complained in the bitterness of his spirit about his condition, because it looked like that God had put his hand out against Job. But in all of this, the Bible said, Job sinned not. A lot of times, it seems that people want to complain because things happen to them. But if we would just stop and think that when things happen to us, there is a reason for it, and God is trying to process us to bring us to a greater life in Christ, or to a greater place of testimony, if we'd just stop and consider this, then we would not be bitter toward God, and we would not be bitter toward our fellow man, but we'd be more submissive to the will of God, and to the mind of God, and to the way of God, and life would be far richer and far better for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wish that we all could take the outlook of Job. Now, suffering is not pleasant. When people are going through heartaches and sorrows, it's not pleasant, is it? When your friends turn their backs upon you, and when people pounce upon you, and when fears and perplexities and bewilderments begin to compass you about, as the Bible says, as the strong bulls of Bashan, then your heart begins to despair of life, and life is not pleasant. But I tell you, if we could just trust in God in the time of our sorrow, in the time of our heartaches, and lift our faith up in God, then we'd be better Christians and be greater lights to the world. I hear so many people complain about things that happen to them. It seems like we're always too ready to complain instead of submitting ourselves to God that watches over our soul. Isn't that right? That's right. Say amen.
Amen.
So that it seems like we're too ready to contend with our neighbors and to them that have something to say to us, rather than submit ourselves to God that watches after our soul, and to submit ourselves to the cross that God has set before us. And I have to admit, I'm just like a lot of you. But I tell you, we need to face the cross. When God sets the cross before us, we need to face it with all diligence and all surrender, and go in the meekness of our heart and the meekness of our spirit, and go with God. And as the song says, I'll go with him through the garden. Where he leads me, I'll follow. It doesn't make any difference if the shadows fall on us. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me, and thy rods and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup, it runs over. I can truly say today that in spite of the sorrow that I might encounter sometimes, in spite of the heartaches that I might encounter sometimes, yet it's a true fact that my cup runs over all the time. And I believe that when people submit themselves unto God and submit themselves unto the ministry as unto them that watches over their soul, that they might present them without spot and wrinkle and blemish to God, I believe they'll have a more fuller and a more richer life than they've ever had before. I wish that all of us could come to the place that we would have the same testimony that Job did. Though we complain in the bitterness of our spirit for the heartaches and the sorrows and the impositions of life, yet to submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, whatever you want, thy will be done.
Amen.
Jesus suffered. The Bible said he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and everywhere he went, he had sorrow and he had grief. He had troubles, he had perplexities, he had bewilderments, but he always prayed above every bit of that, Father, thy will be done.
Amen.
Now, when he prayed in the garden and he said, Lord, or Father, if it be thy will, he said, let this cup pass from me. I don't believe Jesus was trying to get around Calvary. I don't believe he was trying to get around the sufferings of the cross. I don't believe that Jesus was asking the Heavenly Father to take away the nails that was predestined for his hand. He said, for this purpose came I into the world, to do the will of God. But I believe he was praying that that cup of loneliness that he had to endure in being out of the presence of God might pass away from him. This is what I believe.
Amen.
Having to die out of the presence of the Father, that you might live in the presence of the Father. Being made sin, him that knew no sin, having to be sinful in the sight of God, or to be made sin in the sight of the Heavenly Father, that he might die out of the presence of God, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This lonely hour that he had to go through with out of the presence of the Father, I believe that that was what he was praying for when he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Now we sang that little song, a lot of times, have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with him? I believe that Jesus was praying, Father, let this cup pass from me. But he wasn't trying to get around the cross. Too many people want to get around the cross. They want to move around the cross. They want the, you know, the easy place in life and everything to go well. They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They don't want to take the burden of their neighbor and bear the burdens of one another. They don't want to share the enthusiasm of winning souls or to go into all the world and look for those that are lost, the sheep that are lost. But they'd rather have the easy side of life. They'd rather have a feathered nest. They'd rather have everything comfortable and have everything just right. But God wants us to be good soldiers that can endure hardness and can stand in the heat of the battle and carry the good word of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so then, I believe that we need some preparation. Good soldiers go through a preparation. Just because you go and join the army, that doesn't make you a soldier. You know, a lot of people, for instance, they expect because their children come to church that they're going to grow up and be Christians. But it takes training to make a Christian. It takes training a child and bringing him up in the way that he ought to go if you're ever expecting to be a Christian. Just taking him to church isn't going to make him come out right. Just because you make him go to the house of God, that's not going to make him right. But if you train up a child in the way it should go when it's old, it will not depart from it. It will walk in the ways of God. And it's the same way. A man goes in the army, it doesn't make him a soldier. But if you train him, then he'll become a soldier. And just joining the church doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to be trained in the things of God. Somebody said, glory to God, I've been born again. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm on my way to heaven. But that's not enough. Somebody said, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And brother, that's enough. But that's not enough. That's not enough. That's only the beginning. When a person is converted unto the Lord Jesus, when they repent of their sins, when they're converted, and when they turn to God, that's just the beginning.
Right, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will guide you.
Amen.
You don't even get started till you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you haven't even got started yet. It's when you get the Holy Ghost that the Bible said he'll guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. And all righteousness. When you come into the Holy Ghost, then he will guide you. Just to say I'm a child of God, well, I've seen people for many years just go on and go on saying I'm a child of God and I'm on the way to heaven and never do nothing for God. Just said they go to church and that's all there is. But brother and sister, it takes more than going to church. It takes having a vision for our souls. If you ever expect to please God, you've got to have faith and you've got to have a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. So then we've got to walk in the light as the Bible said, as he is in the light. A lot of times we sang that little song, you know, we'll walk in the light. Hallelujah, walk in the light. I expect to walk in the light. But I expect to have God at my side. Hallelujah. I expect to have a vision for Christ if I walk in the light. A lot of people separate themselves from each other. You know why? Because they're not walking in the light. They're not walking in the light as he is in the light. Why is there division in the church? Why is the trouble in the church? Why are we separated in the church? Why is one going one way and one going another way? It's because you're not walking in the light. Hallelujah. You're not walking in the light. The Bible said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another. My brother and my sister, I've seen people try to twist that thing around, you know. They said that means you'll have fellowship with God, that you and God will have fellowship. That's true. We know that to start with. If we're a Christian, we're supposed to have fellowship with God. But my brother, when you walk in the light, as God's in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have fellowship with your brother and sister, there's one thing for sure, you're not walking in the light. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I believe that we can do something for God, folks.
Amen.
I believe we ought to have a world vision for Christ.
Amen.
Instead of a local vision. A lot of people have a vision, as they say, for my foe and no more. But Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Hallelujah. praise God, and testify the gospel as a witness unto the saving grace of our God. Hallelujah. I don't just have a witness for my home. I don't have a vision just for my wife and children, just for the church, but a vision for the world. God's eyes are throughout the earth, the Bible saith, beholding the good and beholding the evil. And he sees every lost soul, and he's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He said, who'll go for me? Who'll go for me? Hallelujah. Who'll go for me? Praise God, he's looking for somebody to go. Amen. I don't mean go on a vacation. I don't mean go overseas just to see the country. I don't mean to leave home just to go out and see the mountains, but to go for God, hallelujah, and to preach the gospel. Praise God, to publish the glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of them, hallelujah, that publishes the tidings of great joy. Praise be unto God. What a vision. My heart rejoices. My soul leaps up and down like a newborn babe in the womb. Hallelujah. Or just before it's born. Like John when he's in the womb of his mother, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the babe leaped within the womb. Praise God, filled with the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord in my soul, and my cup runs over.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I believe there's something to it, don't you?
Amen.
There's fire, as Brother Taylor sings, it's shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. I believe that we're the most privileged people that ever walked the surface of the earth. Brother Zell and I today are trying to do a little something for God, and he was talking. And I told Zell today, I said, Zell, I believe we're the most privileged people in all the world. I believe it, my brother. Listen, while the church is making believe, while churches are literally dying and passing away, so to speak, we have God. We have a vision. We have life. This is not make-believe that we have. But there's a reality in what we got. I talked to you people, and I visited with you, and I know that you got God. You got the real, genuine oil. You got the real thing. And I got it in my heart. And brother, if there ever was a time to be grateful, it's at this hour that you got the real thing. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Something that keeps me alive, Brother Daniel. It keeps me alive. Hallelujah. Daniel was in the lion's den, but he didn't know he did. Hallelujah. Praise God, he had the victory. He had something in there. His brother Grady says he put pepper in his stepper. Hallelujah. Praise God, he lived in the lion's den. He walked right in the face of them, and he had a testimony. Glory to God, I wonder how many of you has trouble when the lions come around. Solomon said some folks put their hand in their bosom and they say there's a lion in the street. Lion in the street. Say, go preach the gospel. There's a lion in the street. Go do something for God. There's a lion in the street. How about doing something for Jesus? Oh, there's a lion in the street, somebody said. Well, I think it's time to kill the lion, don't you?
Hallelujah.
Daniel got the victory over lions. Hallelujah. Praise God, the Hebrew children walked around in the fire furnace. They trotted around in there on the hot coals and whatever there was. But they didn't lose their vision. They didn't lose their faith. The Bible said you try to zip a fire. You put somebody in the furnace, and the first news you know, they lose their faith. But the Hebrew children never lost their faith. Hallelujah, they kept their faith. They walked in the midst of the fire. Amen. When that old king came out there to Daniel, he came out there in the morning, he said, Daniel, how you doing? He said, I'm all right, King. Glory to God, he said, lions didn't bother me at all. Amen. When the king looked into the furnace, the Bible said they was a loose, hallelujah. And they were walking in the midst of the flames. They had their faith. They had their faith. I believe tonight that somebody that's got faith is walking in the furnace. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. Walking in the midst of the fire, we'll walk in the light. Hallelujah. The Bible said in the evening time it shall come to pass there shall be light. Old Job sat down in the heap of the ashes. He sat down and he scraped the balls.
And his miserable confidence was there. And oh, the misery of his heart and the anguish. Folks, have you ever felt like you was blaspheming the Holy Ghost? Have you ever felt like you're separated from God? Have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with him? Oh my God, if you never done that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But just think, Job sat there, had lived perfect in his life. Even God testified he was a perfect man. But he sat there, and the wrath of God burning against him, burning against him. He was in a state of confusion, a state of bewilderment, saying, the thing that I feared has happened to me. The wife saying, Job, my God, I done seen you suffer so much, I can't stand it anymore. Why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you get out of the misery? And Job sitting there, hallelujah, with a testimony in his heart, bewildered, didn't know where God was, didn't know why God had done it, but he sat there and he said, though the skin worms devour my body, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He didn't lose his testimony. He still had his testimony, Brother Bob. He held God's hand to it. Hallelujah. Praise God for all. Go with him through the garden. Hallelujah. Job just walked right on through the garden. Oh, hallelujah. He just walked right on through the garden. I can see the time when Jesus went through the garden, through all of his suffering, and he said to the disciples, said, couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? All of them was hard and fast asleep. But I just wonder in my mind, Brother Ernie, when he was in the garden, and when his sweat turned into great drops of blood and began to drop off, I wonder if there wasn't a tiny voice that whispered like Job and said, Master, I went with you through the garden. I know what you're going through with, Jesus, because I sat in the ash heap. Long before you ever come to earth, Jesus, I sat in the ash heap. I saw the hand of God burn against me, and I'll go with thee through the garden while the rest of them was asleep. He went with him. And my friend, today the testimony of Job lives. It lives today. It's been the consolation to many persons that suffered. It's been a hope to many that was in despair. And today the fame is brighter than ever, the testimony of Job.
Hallelujah.
Many men die, but their testimony lives on. What about your testimony? Do you just wilt away when a little persecution comes? Wives, do you get upset and just have a temper fit just because the husband crosses you up a little bit? Husband, do you get upset and have a temper fit because the wife don't do it the way you think it ought to be done? Children, do you despise the parents because of correction? Do you? Where's your testimony for Jesus? The world is watching you today. The world is watching you. Sometimes, Brother Gonzalez, my heart gets heavy. It gets heavy, but then I think about Jesus. I think about Jesus. I can hear him whisper. I say, God, my heart's so heavy. Lord, my heart's so heavy. I can't bear up under the load. He says, but with every temptation, I'll make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it, he said. Now, I'm not suffering you to be tempted above that that you're able, but with every temptation, I'll make the way of escape.
Glory.
Glory to God. Here, a lot of times, you know, the devil, he'll put us off in the corner, and he'll say, now, boy, I don't give you a hard way to go. And he'll say, now, John, you know, ain't nobody never been through what you're going through with. He'll say, you're having a rough time of it, boy. Your wife has turned on you. Your children has turned on you. Your debtors has turned on you. Your friends has turned on you. Everything's turned on you. And then you get fearful and afraid. And he said, beside that, said, God don't love you anyway. Amen. And so he gets you off in the corner and he says, now you're going through something that nobody else ever experienced. And about the time you start pining away, you hear that echoing voice that comes echoing down from the centuries, saying that you're not taken with any temptation except that which is common unto man. Amen. Then you begin to think, well, oh, Brother Al went through this too, praise God, but he overcome it. Oh, Brother Taylor went through it, but he overcome it, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You believe that's real? Job had his testimony. He sat in the ash heap, but he had his testimony. He believed in God. The man at the pool at Bethesda, he sat there day in and day out, didn't he? He sat there waiting for the angel to come down and trouble the pool. Why? He had affliction. He needed help. He was in sorrow, anguish of heart. No doubt year after year about the time that angel was to drop down in that water, a spirit, not something you could see, I don't believe, but a spirit that got down and troubled that water and put virtue in it. About the time that it was coming, the Bible said another stepped down before him. Laid there till the next year, and another stepped down before him. Anguish of heart, misery, couldn't do anything. But I believe that when Jesus Christ came into your presence, you could tell it. Amen. I heard of a king one time, said he wanted to meet Jesus. Said he always wanted to meet Jesus. One morning he went for a walk, started down a little pathway, through a garden or something. And about that time, here come that long, tall Galilean, walking down the path. And I read the story, and he said, "My, what a man." Said when he walked up, he'd never seen a man like him. He said, a man of dignity, a man of strength and grace and power, that stood there like a prince charming, right there before him, and he expressed him like I've never heard an expression of a man before. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I wonder when people meet you if you're the same. Hallelujah. Brother Al, I wonder when they met you in Mexico down there, when your heart was filled with fear, when they was jumping on your little children, abusing your children, and your wife was peeling the avocados and there trying to get something to eat, and the tears dripping off her cheeks as I've seen her do, living in the dust with the snakes and with everything else. I wonder if you came forth in the morning like the great Galilean, with faith and hope and confidence, saying his power did when he stood in the midst of the tribulation on the ship, "Be of good cheer," he said. Hallelujah. Hadn't he done anything for about 14 days? The storm around him and the darkness around him, all hope given up. But he said, "Be of good cheer." Hallelujah. He said, "God talked with me this night. An angel of the Lord spoke to me." I believe it'll be just like he said, Brother Jimmy. He said, "The angel of God, who I am and who I work for and who I labor for, who I testify for." He said he stood by me this night and said, "Everything's going to be all right." Brother Taylor sings that song, "Everything's going to be all right." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe everything's going to be all right. I just know everything's going to be all right. There's something down in my soul that says everything's going to be all right. That man at the gate, called Beautiful, sat over there, and Peter come by. He didn't know Peter was going to bring him healing. He didn't know Peter had the power of deliverance in his hands, did he? He sat there at the gate, called Beautiful. He didn't know what Peter was going to do. All he was expecting was to get an arm. He was expecting somebody to give him a handout and help him because he's crippled and couldn't work. He didn't expect healing. But the Bible said he gave heed, expecting to receive something. He gave heed. Faith come up in his heart. Peter said, "Look on us." Praise God. I'd left him at Peter. I'd left him at him. I don't think he'd come up there trembling and shaking. He said, "Now, boy, I know you're in bad shape." And I looked, trying to hit there. I believe he walked up there and he looked at him. He said, "Look on us." Glory to God. He said, "Gold and silver have I none." He said, "But such as I do have."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, "Give out thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He said, "Rise up and walk." And the Bible said he took his hand, he didn't wait for him to get up. He took his hand, he picked him up. And the Bible said the strength of God entered into his ankle bones.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And according to the Bible, he did a little bit of shouting. Amen. He run and he jumped. He danced, and the Bible said that he ran into the temple leaping and hollering and going on. Praise God, he had a right to do it, didn't he? Had a right to do it. He expected something. He expected something. I preached a sermon the other night on faith. My friend, we've got to expect something from God, but we can't expect the wrath of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't believe in the mercy of the Son, the wrath of God abideth on you. Why let the devil trample the mind of humanity down? Why walk along and let him trample your mind down and cause you to think thoughts of despair and despondency and fear and worry when the Bible tells you not to do it? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled."
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. Somebody said, "I wish God would give me a visitation. I wish he'd stop my heart from being troubled." My dear friend, he gave you faith. He's dealt unto every man the measure of faith, and he gave you his word, which is the way of escape. And he said, "For you not to let your heart be troubled." You got the power to keep it from being troubled. You stop it from being troubled. You resist the devil by faith, and he'll flee from you. Hallelujah. Tell him to get out of your presence. Ain't no need of coming up to him trembling and telling him. The Bible said if you waver, it won't do any good. But if the Word of God said, "Let not your heart be troubled," then don't let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid, he said. Neither let it be afraid.
Hallelujah.
Don't let it be afraid.
Glory.
David said, "My heart is fixed, Hallelujah, my heart is fixed. He said, and evil tidings don't trouble me. Evil tidings don't trouble me because my heart is fixed. Hallelujah. My heart is fixed. Praise God, I believe that we got to do something, don't you?
Amen.
I'm going to say this and I'm going to try to close right here. What was it that Job done? He said in the ash heap. He said in the ash heap, in the bitterness of his spirit, he complained. Said, I wish I could find God. I wish I knew the doorway to his house. I'd go up there and talk with him. And I'd tell him how broken hearted I am. How miserable I am. And how wretched I am. Said, if I could just find the place of his dwelling. I'd reason with him, Brother Ernie. And I said, Lord, why have you done it? Why have you done it? But down in his heart, he didn't sin against God. He didn't sin against God. You know, sometimes you can be awful upset, but the Bible said, let there not be found within you an evil heart of unbelief. Stand fast. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense and reward. He that holdeth that fast faith to the end, the same shall be saved. Hold on to it. Hold on to it in the darkest hours of despair. When it looks like God's so far from you. Say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Job said, I know he liveth. I know he liveth. He shaved, he scraped there with a potsherd, and there he sat in misery. But he said, I know he lives. I know he lives. And he's good. He's sweet and he loving. The devil will say, oh, he don't care nothing about you. But the Bible said he cared for you. He cared for you. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand together. He cares for you.